On Gambling Show with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
It's the Albany legislature here that's at fault, not the unions.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
There's some things we have to have taxes for, and that's fine, but you just have to stand up and say some of these things we can't afford.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
And here we go. It is indeed a Friday John Gambling Show, and Mayor Michael Bloomberg here in Studio 4 with me and with you. Good morning.
Good morning. We're getting close to Thanksgiving.
It's hard to believe. In fact, I saw my first Christmas tree decoration outside this morning.
I was in a studio yesterday, and they had Christmas decorations on the side ready to be put up.
Let us hope that Christmas is bright and shiny if some of the economic reports are not so swift.
I had meetings in the last 2 weeks with two heads of major department stores, and the sales have fallen off a cliff. Just fallen off a cliff. Restaurants, I can't tell you every restaurant is a big problem, but most restaurateurs will tell you their business is down dramatically. People are worried, and they're not spending money, and to the extent that they don't spend money, which is probably good for their own personal finances, to be a little bit conservative here, that's what's creating the problem for everybody, that people are unwilling to run risks, buy things, invest. And so it's sort of one of these, the good news is you're saving yourself, the bad news is you're hurting everybody, including yourself.
And the question is, and the question before the new president and Congress is, how do you stop the deflating of the balloon and turn it around.
I think that they have a good handle on how to do that for the financial sector. It's not done. It's never pretty. It's not complete. But the governments around the world, including our Treasury and Fed, have gotten together, and they are pumping enormous amounts of money in to help the financial system. And by and large, in spite of the market going down roughly 1,000 points in 2 days, by and large, the big panics are over. And that doesn't mean that every bank's willing to lend, but they are less panicked. It doesn't mean every college endowment has enough cash, but they are less panicked. And that'll work itself out. The problem is, once you stabilize that and the banks are willing to make loans, the question will be, does anybody want them? And the other side of this is the not going to restaurants, not buying a car, keeping that dressed for another season, whatever, those kinds of things. That's not something that you can easily do. And I don't believe that another $150 billion stimulus package where you send everybody checks is a very good use of the public's money. We saw the last time, you know, it was a marginal improvement in the economy, but it isn't enough money in anybody's pocket to say, hey, you know, I don't have to worry about my retirement. People are worried about their retirement. Hey, I don't have to worry about paying my mortgage. People are worried about that. Hey, my job's secure. No, it may not be. And that is a crisis of confidence. I think a new president can inspire people a little bit. But the real answer here is to do what presidents in the past have done, and I hope President-elect Obama, when he takes office, will do, and that's to come up with a grand scheme and get Congress to build things within that that has an overall countrywide public purpose where, when it's done, we not only have helped people, we have something to keep helping people. In other words, infrastructure. Some people say it's not easy. It is not, but there are a lot of projects that probably could get going relatively quickly. This country has to make a number of fundamental decisions. Who are we going to bail out, for example? General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford are, you know, a $50 billion loan. I don't know what a loan means. If they don't, it's hard to see how they get their act together. Their sales are down 75%. They haven't built the kind of cars the public wants. There are lots of other automobile companies in this country who are having problems, but they are building the kind of cars people want. You have the airlines.
Yep. I was going to say transportation companies.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know where it stops other than politically, anybody that's got lots of employees who can get together and pressure, they're likely to get bailed out.
Well, that's what the car companies were doing yesterday in Washington.
Down there. And listen, if I ran a car company or I ran an automotive workers union, I would be there. but doing exactly the same thing. But whether that's good for the overall country. I think the real problem here, more than anything else, you're seeing, John, those old problems we keep talking about coming back to bite in a ways that most people thought, oh, it was an academic issue. For example, health care costs. Defined benefit plans have bankrupted the big three now, the three. People don't even call them the big three anymore. They've bankrupted the airlines industry. I can just tell you New York City's and New York State's pension funds and health care funds are going to be enormous problems for us to fund. And we can talk about the city's budget later on. But the biggest, that big elephant in the room is the health care costs, which have gone up by 60%+. Healthcare and pensions have gone up 60%+ since I've been in office.
Do we take the burden of those off the backs of the companies and in some way make it our personal responsibility?
There's two issues here. One is who pays. In the end, we all pay.
We all pay, right.
The other, but just the difference of how you collect the money. And the other thing is, what are we getting for our money? Is there a better ways to do it? I come back to the biggest problem in healthcare is not 45 million uninsured or companies that can't afford this. Those are all phenomenally serious problems. But the fundamental problem is we spend $2,000 or $3,000 more than they do in Western Europe per capita, and our life expectancy is 2 or 3 years less. Now, advocates will say, oh, that's not, you know, the differences in diets and that something. Look, the bottom line, if you want one number to measure how good health care is, life expectancy is probably as good a number as you'll ever come up with.
I believe that's the ultimate goal.
Well, it is the argument would be it's the ultimate goal, but it's the quality of life as you get older. So if you're infirmed, that's not as good as if you're out there bowling every day.
Do you think part of that cost is, and we're getting slightly far afield here, but the part of that cost is, and the system where we have our medical people covering their bases from a legal standpoint with test after test?
You know, you can pick a number of things all that contribute. I don't think there's any question that the tort system for some specialties and some hospitals drives them to do unnecessary tests to cover their rear. But it's not the only thing by any means. And some evidence, some of that's been getting better. There's an easy way to fix a lot of this stuff, and that is with electronic records, which we've tried to do here in New York City. Tom Frieden, Department of Health, has come up with
Where's the pushback come from there?
Well, it's partially that nobody wants to put money into preventive things. We have a history in the world of doing that. Nobody says thank you for keeping me from making a mistake, getting a disease, or whatever. We do say thank you for helping fix the problem after we've got it. So there's not a big constituency. Number two, there are plenty of doctors and hospitals that, you know, they've done things the same way. Adopting technology is always a difficult thing to do. It's a business where there's lots of different companies and vested interests and different people pay. When you have a system where you and I don't pay for our health care directly, but somebody else, our company, let's say, pays, then there's less incentive for you and me to cooperate to reduce the cost because we don't see it. The employer would argue, oh, I would pay you more if I didn't have to, but nobody really would see it or believe it. Conceptually, probably is true, but in the practical sense, it's not. But if you had electronic health records, and we've tried to do it, we have a few hundred thousand doctors, or I think the number, a few thousand doctors, hundreds of thousands of patients. I forget the numbers. But it was very impressive. And what it is if you get a test, the next doctor you go, when he says, did you, or she says, have you had, you and I wouldn't know. I don't remember the test I have, much less what they're called. I couldn't pronounce it even or remember it. I lost the piece of paper I wrote it down on. But they could go to the computer and say, oh, you did. I don't have to do it again. And it's the lack of that that makes them do it again. Now, that's just one
small. It seems so
small,
simple.
But it is something you could do right away without a lot of money. I think the cost was a few billion dollars. In the context, we spend trillions of dollars on health care, but nobody wants to come up with it. I come back, though. Did you ever see Charlie Wilson's War?
Yeah, no, I did not.
It was a great movie.
I heard it was wonderful.
It was a good movie. And, it was the story of how we built up spending money for the first Iraqi war, and they went on and on and on, and he kept getting more and more. Each time he went back, he got more money from Congress. And the last scene, they need money. They've won the war, and they need money
couple million bucks, not the trillions, a couple million bucks for a school. And Congress says, we're not going to spend for a school.
Yeah, why would you want to do that?
Right.
Why would you want to do that? We've got lots more with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, we will come right back. All right, we are back with Mayor Michael Bloomberg here on the John Gambling Show at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. We're talking monies, talking budgets, talking woes, and that's what you were talking middle of the week, Wednesday and yesterday. City's got some problems or issues.
The world has problems, the country, the state, and the city. Actually, for all of our doom and gloom in the city, we are in better shape than I think most other municipalities. We have, with the help of the city council, and in spite of everybody screaming, oh, we got to spend more, you have money. In fact, there's a law that says we can't have a rainy day fund. If you think about that.
That doesn't make much sense, though.
Sure it does, if you want us to spend money. And it was put in at the request of people who wanted us to not be able to save. The good news is you can always prepay interest and put money in to try to fund the liability for our health care. And fortunately, because we did those things, we have less of a problem. But make no mistake about it, we don't have enough to cover the deficits. And there were some people a few weeks ago who were saying, oh, you're crying wolf, things aren't as bad as you say. I was with somebody in a restaurant recently who said that, and the owner came over, and the guy said to the owner, how's your business? And owner says, down 30 or 40%, I'm not sure I can survive. And guy looked at me and just, he hadn't quite got it. When you walk down the street, I drove down Lexington Avenue last week, about 6 o'clock, so you know it's dark and the lights are on, and looking in all these small stores, there was nobody in them. As I said before, I've met with two of the large retail chains, and their business all across the country has just fallen off a cliff. So you don't have to be a weatherman to know whether it's raining, and you don't have to see the tax decreases, although October it started to fall apart. In July and August and even into September, we were slightly ahead by $10 million or $50 million, an odd lot out of $36 billion that we collect. By October, it had really started to get down. And remember, we also have this enormous liability of companies that prepaid their taxes, and it turns out they didn't make any money, so they don't owe it. Well, that's not our money. We've got to refund it. And every year, there's about $250 million you have to do that. This year, with the big two tax months still coming, November and December, we've already sent back $850 million, or had requests to do so. It takes a while to process it. But so our tax revenue is going to go down. I hope with these economies it's enough, although even with these economies we still are going to have a $1.3 billion deficit. But if tax revenues continue to fall away, some experts think, and some people say it's not going to get much worse, some say it's going to get much worse, nobody says it's going to get much better, no reputable economist. And is it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? I don't know, but it's not a short period of time. We're going to have some real problems. The good news is I think these budget efficiencies, cuts, however you want to phrase it, will not destroy the essential services or the quality of life in the city. I think we have in place some very good commissioners who've had lots of experience now in doing more with less. They've been part of the process of finding out which things don't work, which things nobody, we have programs nobody uses or very few people use. You can't afford to have a program where very few people use it. Either they're going to use it or they're not. And somebody said, oh, well, you have to have everything. We just don't have that choice. And, you get people say, I don't want this cut. Okay, that's fine. What do you want us to cut? Oh, but the other guy doesn't want to cut that. Oh, well, same thing with revenue.
Somebody's got to be the adult in the room.
You've got to be the adult in the room, and we just all have to get together. And I think I'm not worried about that. I think City Council has been responsive, and they are questioning, and that's part of democracy, and, we'll work together.
Some have threatened to take you to court over the $400 rebate.
Well,
checks.
I'll never get to that because we'll come up with something. I am very happy to send out the checks. Just can you tell me where we're going to get the $250 million that would save us? And if you can come up with a good answer, I'm on your side. I don't want to cut services. I don't want to raise revenue. It's not good politics. It's no fun when people glare at you and say, hey, you're taking it at a time I can least afford it, which is incidentally true. But we have a law that says we have to balance the budget. And I will tell you the one thing that we can't compromise on as a society is walking away from our future. That's what they did in the 70s. So we're going to keep the streets clean. Is the police commissioner happy about 1,000 fewer cops? No. But he can keep the streets safe with that. Remember, when we came into office, we reduced the size of the police department by 3,000 uniformed cops, and crimes come down every year since then. So there's a limit to how much you can do that. My hope is that things don't get dramatically worse, and they could get dramatically worse, a little bit of risk with the economy getting dramatically worse. But what worries me is the state budget, which they have a couple of the governor's numbers and probably good numbers, $2 billion deficit between now and the end of March, $12 billion deficit for their fiscal year starting April 1. Remember, the city fiscal year that I'm worried about starts a couple months later.
Aren't they going to have to cut the money they send to the city?
Well, that's up to them to come up with ideas. I can just tell you the numbers. Roughly 50% of their tax revenues for the entire state comes from the five boroughs. And roughly 40% of the money that they send back to all of the counties come to New York City, the five boroughs. So it is very hard to see us not having to be a big part of the solution to their problems, which means very serious consequences here because they do a lot of things. They're 50% of our education budget. Medicaid, people need it. And incidentally, that's also the revenue for our hospitals. And that's how the people who work in hospitals get paid. And if you take a look at the state, what they redistribute money for, they have a budget of about $120 billion. When you take out transfer payments where they're just taking federal monies and redistributing it and a few other things in debt service and pensions, things that really in a short term, people scream, oh, get the healthcare system a pension system under control. We can talk about that. But those are very long-term things before you could ever make any material changes. And I'm not sure you could even do it because you'd have to negotiate with people who aren't thrilled about doing that. But when you get done with taking out all of that, the state has about $70 billion that they could, in theory, do something with. 15 of it is paying for services that they provide, state police and running their bureaucracy and paying for all of the services that the state provides. Take the 15 away from the 70 and now you're down to $55 billion. And that's the money that they redistribute to the 62 counties, of which five, we call them boroughs, but they're the five counties.
So if that 55... the city pays 50 of the 55 or 50 of the 121?
It's more than that because you have to take out the federal monies, but then even debt service, we pay half the debt service, half the pensions, half. We pay basically half of everything over, so maybe it's 50% of 90. I forget whatever the number is. But out of the 55 that they send back, we get 40% of it. And the big chunks of that, better than half of that 55, is in Medicaid and education. Now, just think about the politics. Medicaid helping people, particularly elderly people who vote in a tough time when they really do need the money. Education, everybody loves education and fighting crime. Those are the two things that... And then seniors programs. That's what gets people to the steps of City Hall. But the big surprise here is that most of the money for every budget, state and city, are in popular programs. Surprise, surprise. Right. Popular, in the case of the city, means education and police, and along with police. Police is a euphemism, really, for four services, police, fire, sanitation, and corrections, which... for a variety of reasons, basically are all intertwined and have to go together. And if you want to reduce your expenses, you have to go where the money is, which is the popular programs. And to make matters even worse, 80%, 90%, numbers like that, of each of these agencies, not education but the others, are salaries. So if you really have to cut, it is laying off people or You don't have to lay them off. Some things you can do with attrition. The problem with attrition, of course, is when the economy is bad, people don't leave their jobs. They worry and they want to work longer. So attrition gets harder to be the ways to do it. And what I've tried to do here is to say to the workforce, look, to the extent we can, and I can't guarantee down the road, but to the extent we can, you do your part, you work hard, you be flexible, you find ways to save money, employ technology, do all these things, and I'll do everything I can to protect your jobs. And I think that's what any good organization, whether it's an educational organization, a hospital, a company, or a government, should do.
But at some point, you run out of that.
If the state were to send us a bill for $3 or $4 billion, because if they have a $12 billion deficit and they want to cut, and 40% of it is money they send to us, 40%.
It sounds like $3 billion.
So let's assume they cut $3 billion. We don't have that kind of money. So, there's that. There's the MTA. Next week, the MTA will
come
up.
Hold on. I want to talk about the MTA.
But that's just another thing that could come to bite us in the back. And we came up with a solution to that, and it wasn't acceptable.
All of
this, we're looking for others.
As you well know, better than anybody, is very scary stuff for the people that are listening to this program and
listen
to
you. Having said that, I still would, before you rush off to commercials, which I hope you make a lot of money on,
so
because
we
need that for the economy, I still think this city's better off than others.
I think you would get no argument from, I think, most people about that. If you would like to ask them a question of the mayor, you have the opportunity before we finish up here. 800-321-0710. Get in line. You've got a question for the mayor. Our telephone number is 800-321-0710.
We were talking about the economy. Last night we had a reception at Gracie Mansion for NYC and Company, run by a guy named George Fertitta, who's just great. NYC and Company is a city, I don't know if it's an agency, but a city entity, that goes out and tries to sell our brand name, get companies to come here, and it's things like the Mayor's Office of Film, Theater, and Television, film here. It has enormous impact on the city. This is the city's advertising arm. We have to advertise. We have branches all around the world to advertise. Come to New York for your vacation. Come to New York for education, medical care. Start your business. This is a kind of market we're going to have to even invest more in. That. That's the kind of thing. If you walk away from that, you really do walk away from your future.
But it was quite enough.
We had lots of customers, Nike and Coke and a whole bunch of big companies were there. And we really are, this guy Fertitta and his whole crowd really making a big
difference. Years ago, somebody suggested sell space on the police cars.
I don't think it's a good idea. Chris Quinn has suggested sell space on the side of garbage trucks. And we do have public safety and recycling announcements, those kinds of things, on garbage trucks. It wouldn't bring in a lot of money. But look, we're going to have to start looking at everything. People would say, you can't possibly rename something or sell the naming rights. The question is, if you don't do that, what services do we really want to provide that we just can't?
Two items that you've been talking about as, I think the euphemism was, revenue enhancement. 5 cents for plastic bags, which has a double-edged sword to it, obviously from environmental, but putting back the sales tax on clothing under $110. Don't those things contract in on top of themselves, ultimately, if they are successful?
That's like having a cigarette tax. The most wonderful thing in the world would be if we collected nothing from our cigarette tax.
That's my point on the
plastic
tax.
Think about how many people's lives you'd save. Yeah, I mean, there's no question. Of course, somebody that doesn't like income tax would say if you raise it high enough, you won't get any money because everybody goes bankrupt, and they won't. And then that also is true, and you don't want that. So some things you want it to destroy the thing you're taxing. Some things you don't want it to destroy the things, but you need the revenue. Plastic bags have the problem. I think estimates it takes 1,000 years for a plastic bag to
I understand.
Biodegrade and that
things.
Sort of thing. And it's just another thing. Our sanitation department wanted to take a look at this. They've done a very good job at recycling a lot of stuff. Although we can always do more. These trucks. We don't see it here in Manhattan, but in some of the other boroughs where the space, where the houses are much further apart, they have garbage trucks, which, if you look at the back, there's two sections.
I've seen those
gates, yeah. One for recycled, one so they go down the street once and pick up both. In Manhattan, the amount of recycle is so big, and the amount of non-recyclable is much, much bigger, that we'd have to drive the route twice.
Before
I forget, you are going on Monday evening to the Apollo Theater, I'm sure, for the 2008 Mayor's Awards for Art and Culture.
Does it start after 7:30? If it does, the answer is no. But go ahead.
Yes, it does start after 7:30. So you'll be sound asleep by then.
I'll have to miss it.
We've got the legendary New York City playwright Neil Simon with the is getting the Handel Medallion. And the awards will be emceed by Ugly Betty star Vanessa Williams. Thank you very much.
I thought you were going to call somebody ugly. I was going, that's not your style.
Yeah, Ugly Betty is, you can't do that, but it is the name of a show. Neil Simon's getting this award. He's a Bronx native, and he comes from New York. And, I mean, some of his plays, you know, Brighton Beach Memoirs and Lost in Yonkers, which won the Pulitzer, and I think Broadway Bound was another one. And this was an award that was started back in 1959.
Just a wee boy. Little lad.
Robert Wagner started it, and we've had lots of famous people, Benny Goodman and Charlie Chaplin and Alvin Ailey and Dizzy Gillespie. They've all won it. Richard Rodgers. So it's a big deal that Neil Simon's getting it, and looking forward to it.
Big deal as well. The Intrepid is back and opens for business tomorrow.
I drove up the West.
Looks great, doesn't it?
Not only, I drove up the West Side yesterday, and I was catching up on the stuff I had to read for the next event I was going to. And on the corner of my eye, I saw the Intrepid twice. And I did a double take and turned my head. There are two carriers there.
The
Intrepid is there. That's the one that is the museum and has long since been retired. But there's an active carrier in port, the Bataan, I think. And they had one of those Ospreys on the front of the deck.
It's probably an assault ship, which looks like an aircraft carrier. It's probably because of the Intrepid. Right,
and it's the same size as the Intrepid, roughly, whereas today a modern aircraft carrier, you could probably put two Intrepids, one on the deck of it.
Exactly. What is it? You've got... Veterans Day coming up next week.
Veterans Day on the 11th. We're going to be there every year. There's a few Medal of Honor recipients who have been honored for great service there. And a lot of the elected officials. In election years, they all show up. Other than that, they tend not to. And there's a parade, which is nice, and it's a chance we lay some wreaths. And, you know, you look at the young kids. That's what I keep thinking about. You know, people who have given their service to this country, and, you know, you say, gee, thank you for doing it, and you think, what a great people. I've always thought that about John McCain, for example, and his family, regardless of the politics. You know, he's really dedicated. His father, grandfather, kids are doing it. But then you look at the young soldiers and sailors and Marines and Coast Guard and Air Force people, the percentage that's female is quite startling. In this day and age, very different than what you and I thought of as an army many years ago. And these are kids, it's an all-volunteer. They believe that they are making a difference, and they are. And you and I can say, well, yeah, I make a difference. I'm going to sign that petition. They're putting their lives on the line.
Absolutely. You talk about residents getting involved. How about the folks that literally, through private donations, got this Intrepid?
The Fisher family, I think, was the biggest donor. But there's been a lot of people who really...
A lot of people involved.
Yeah, it's a great New York institution. It's, you know, you look at the ship and it was kamikaze hit it. I've been through it. I have not been through it since it got redone. And I'm looking forward to doing that.
All right, we were talking about recycling plastic bags. The environment, you have looked for the taxi industry to do their part here. And I understand that there's been an incredible pushback on these hybrid vehicles.
Some yes, some no. One of the problems is when gasoline goes down a little bit, people have less of an incentive.
We forget fast.
So fast. Gasoline was at 140. Today it's at 60. And that's one of the reasons you see Russian economy and a lot of other economies around the world that were built, Middle East, built on selling oil revenues. And now they're not getting even half of what they were only a few months ago. But we will find a ways to do it. The pollution problem, you know, it's easy to say, oh, in tough times, we can't worry about the environmental stuff and global warming is way down the road. The real thing that you and I have to worry about is you and I are breathing that air when we walk outside. Even in this building, it comes from the outside. Our kids, our grandkids, we've got to do something about this. So we'll find another ways. It's disappointing that some people put their own self-interest a little bit ahead.
Because this has to do with the price of the vehicle, from what I understand.
But you do, even at these levels of gasoline, you save a lot. There's some people that say, oh, they're smaller. Yeah, they are. That's good. They're less safe. No evidence of that. But we'll look at what our legal options are and keep working. We're not going to walk away. We want a good, healthy taxi industry where the owners and the drivers make money and the public gets great service at a fair price. If you remember, all the screaming about credit cards.
No, screaming anymore.
You bet you no screaming, because what I said before, people tend to tip a lot more, and you don't hear any screaming about that.
And it's a great convenience. It's a wonderful improvement for
change
those.
Change is hard, and
times.
When you try to get people to do something different, they complain, they picket, they yell, they scream. But, you know, that we have to make progress. That's the only way progress ever been made in society. Somebody standing up to that. And sometimes people that try to push their agenda is wrong. Sometimes they're right. But if nobody pushed their agenda, we'd be back in the Stone Age.
I hate to come back to the ugly news of the economy and the city and the budgetary problems.
But we've
seen you roll out... What I think I hear you saying is round one. Is round two, do you have in the wings?
Well, round two, it's actually interesting. All of the most yelling and screaming is about things I just listed as possibilities for round two. Round two comes about, number one, because we still have a deficit for this year of $1.3 and $5 billion for the year after and $5 billion for the year after. There's got to be something else to do. Round two comes about because the state, you know, if they balance their budget, it's going to hurt us. The only place they get revenue is end revenue is... Right. The counties, and we get a large percentage and pay a lot of, large percent of that. The MTA is going to come up with a budget next week, which is going to be very dismal reading. And unless we fix the MTA capital problem, you're never going to work your ways out of it, because you can't do more with less unless you have technology and stuff.
And we
walked away from it. One chance to do that. Now we've got to find other ways.
And if it weren't complicated enough, you need the MTA to grow, not contract. And yet, where's the money going to come to do just that?
We're going to talk about that next week.
Okay, well, we certainly will. We're going to talk with our listeners who have questions for you, Mr. Mayor. We will do that in just a moment or so. 10 before 9 o'clock, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and your turn to ask the questions at 800-321-0710. What do you think? We start with number 5 here, Joel in Queens. You've got the mayor. Go.
Hi, good morning.
Go ahead, Joel.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Meg. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to ask a question. Why, in this hard economic times, why do we have to spend $4 million just for renaming the Triber Bridge to RFK Bridge?
Well, the city is spending, my recollection, is about $100,000, and the balance of the $4 million, it's probably just an estimate, is state, because all of the big roads that lead into the Triborough Bridge, the big highways, are state roads, and they have a responsibility for that. This was done, if I remember, during Elliot Spitz's administration. He got the legislature... I think he needed legislative approval to name the bridge the RFK Bridge after Robert Kennedy. And there was, my recollection, a lot of support for that. And they've named it. Now they're just getting around to changing the signs. And yes, you're right, it's an expense, and you can argue there are more important things. I will say, in all fairness, this governor probably didn't have much choice. It was done before him. And number two, while $4 million is nothing to sneeze at, in the grand scheme of if the state's budget is $12 billion, if their deficit's $12 billion for next year, saving $4 million is not going to make much of a difference, although, you know, every little bit helps.
To all of us that are, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Joel's got a good point, but we're going to do that. You know, we do a lot of things, small things, which you just can't walk away from, or walking away from would probably create a fight that would cost you more to fight than just... doing it.
The world is a crazy
and
place.
And a lot of those signs probably need to be redone anyway, so, you know, it's not
all right,
that
Joel,
big a
thanks
deal.
For the phone call here. Let's go to Jack in Manhattan. Jack, you've got the mayor's ear. Go.
Hi. Unlike McCain and Senator Mint, all they say is fight, 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 fight. And I'm wondering why the mayor didn't run for president, because he is a consensus builder, talked about progress, challenge, and building.
Jack, just make sure, in the interest of full disclosure, you are not my cousin, right?
No. And I voted for Obama, and I'm glad he's there, but I'm just you are just, in my opinion, you have exactly why he won. He had all these beautiful words and ways of talking and ways of looking for making consensus happen. You build, you challenge, you learn to progress.
Well, you're nice to say that, Jack. I think we should let him go on and talk a little while longer.
There's something wrong with the potential the pot here. We won't let him go on. I mean, your head was swelling there.
I think being the president of the United States is one of the greatest challenges anybody could take on. And
seriously, you gave it real thought, didn't you?
I did give it real thought. But in the end, I thought we had through... $2.5 billion in 2 years. I got two great numbers for you. $2.5 billion, roughly, the presidential election. $2.5 billion on all other elections. So the total amount spent in the last 2 years for this election cycle was something about $5 billion. Now you say, wow, that's a lot of money. The budget for potato chips in this country was $6 billion. So, you know, if somebody could say, which is
priority
more
right. Exactly. At least we have our priority in the right,
right
place.
Anyways,
right?
Jack, I think the public really did have a choice. And I thought that, you know, both the I know both of them. They're both great guys. Barack Obama provided an opportunity for people to say, I want to really change things. And he's, you know, new and bright light, and people have an enthusiasm. He obviously got 7 million odd more votes than John McCain. And now, regardless of who you voted for, now's the time to come out and do it. And the only thing you can do, if you feel that, you know, I'm addressing issues, make sure that your congresspeople and your senators and your city council people and your mayor and governor and president do the same thing. You know, when they try to give you an answer that isn't direct, or when they try to act in a partisan way, say, hey, I don't like that, and I'm going to work for somebody to run against you. That's what we all care about, you know.
Hey, Vincent, if you can ask your question in 20 seconds, go.
How you doing, Mr. May? It's good. A pleasure to talk to you.
20 seconds, and, Vincent.
Okay. I would like to know your feeling on the Department of Environmental Protection, the water treatment, the wastewater treatment.
We have to leave it there.
Yeah,
the
DEP has inherited lots of problems. We have a storm system here that's tied into the sewage system. So normally when it rains, the sewage system takes the rainwater off the streets as well as out of your bathroom and puts it through plants and then cleans the water and dumps the water, cleaned water, into the river. Unfortunately, if it rains very heavily, it doesn't do that. That's why you want to have green roofs and more trees to hold that water back. And you want to change your sewer system, which we're working on, which will be going on for the next 50 years.
A huge problem all the way up in our whole neighborhood. Mr. Mayor, running out of time. Talk to you next Friday.
MTA next week.
Okay,
that'll
absolutely
be your, that's a guarantee. That
is the
be
headline for next
to
week. I got to go, too. See you Monday. Have a great weekend.